brought to you by Penguin.
Rosie by Leslie Pierce, read by Gabrielle Glaister. Chapter 1. Somerset, 1945. The privy stunk worse than usual because of the heat, so Rosie pulled her knickers down out in the orchard before opening the rickety door. Then, holding her nose with one hand and her dress up with the other, she backed in, that way avoiding seeing the fetid bottomless hole. A large brown spider, weaving a web from one of the beams to a crack in the door, swung past her right cheek. Rosie laughed. She considered all living creatures as friends, even the less attractive ones. "Hello, Sid," she said in nasal tones, because she had to hold on to her nose.
"Why do you stay in this smelly place? You could catch just as many flies if you made your web on one of the apple trees. And you'd have a nice view of the moors, too."
Rosie's home, May Cottage, was at the heart of the Somerset Levels, a low-lying area of fertile moorland, crisscrossed with rivers and man-made rhines. For some, such an isolated place, however lovely, would be daunting, especially if they were forced to be entirely alone here as often as Rosie was. But she didn't mind, not even when darkness fell. To her, each snuffling, barking, squeaking or grunting sound was the voice of a friend, whether it be rabbit, bird, bullfrog or hedgehog. They didn't gossip or turn up their noses about the Parkers, unlike the people in Catcott Village further up the road. The male Parkers, intrigued, horrified, frightened, and yet somehow excited their neighbours. Cole Parker, Rosie's father, often remarked that if it wasn't for him, there would be no conversation in the Crown. He claimed too that they were jealous of him. There was an element of truth in this. Cole was a handsome man and had a way with the ladies. He also had the luck of the devil. Somehow he'd managed to convince the conscription board he was unfit for active service, then spent the war years making good money out of it. But behind the envy was fear, too. Mysterious accidents seemed to befall people who spoke too volubly about the Parkers, especially those who dared say that Cole's lads weren't just wild, but twisted, and twice as dangerous as their father. As the war slowly creaked towards its end, however, even the people of Catcott had found something more to talk about than the Parkers. The men were expected home. Rationing and the blackout would soon be just a distant memory. There were frantic preparations for the victory celebrations. Chickens and pigs to be fattened, hoarded sugar, flour and currants dug out for cakes. Spring cleaning took on a new fervour, and in the village school there was a rash of compositions handed in based on childish, sweet-toothed fantasies of a world where chocolate bars hung on trees, rivers flowed with lemonade, and streets were paved with fruit gums. In the drunken revelry of the village victory party, there had been a conviction that a wonderful new era was just dawning. But now, in June, just 1 month later, that vision was already tarnished. Many servicemen were still overseas, and of those who had come home, a great number were finding it hard to adjust to family life. Rationing was worse than ever, and shortages of paint, bricks and building materials prevented city dwellers from repairing the war damage to their houses. Rosie was more aware of how it was for families in the big cities than any of her school friends, because her father often went to Bristol and London, fixing up deals to clear bomb sites. When she felt a little lonely, afraid or hungry, she tried to remember stories her dad...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?